Thank you very much for sharing. What an exciting opportunity to partner in a ministry. So consider praying how you can become involved in that opportunity. I love when there's opportunities that people can go into schools and teach the gospel to, you know, what an incredible opportunity to teach potential leaders of the faith. That makes me really excited. So yeah, prayerfully consider how you can partner with Destiny in that ministry as well. Yes, our service is going to be a little bit different. The order of service is going to be a little bit different. Again, this Sunday, it is communion. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about communion, and we're going to take part in communion together. And that's going to be our service as we worship together this morning. But just before we get into our time, get into the Word, I do want to just take some time and pray this morning. So pray with me. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts for your goodness and your love for us. God, you are a good, good Father, and we are such a rich people, and so God, we give you thanks. Father, we thank you for Destiny, and we thank you for Africa Inland Mission and the opportunities that they have there. And Father, I pray that you would be with Destiny as she continues to look for support and to be able to pursue this incredible opportunity to work with youth in the school. And so, Father, I pray that, yeah, you would just continue to bring the support that she needs to be able to honor and glorify you through that ministry. Father, too, we just give you thanks for the opportunity that we have to come worship this morning. We thank you that you are a good God and that we have so much to be thankful for. And this morning as we come to the table, partake in the Lord's Supper, God, I pray that you would prepare our hearts already as we just worship you in this way and remember, recognize what it is that we are celebrating here today as children, your children. Father, we give you thanks, and now we pray that through your word, you would just teach us. Through your spirit and through your word, we pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Most of us are busy and our lives feel rushed. Like we always seem like we're rushing around. But there are moments in life where there's value to slowing down. They're simply far too important to rush. You know, I hope you don't rush through your favorite desserts. I don't like to. We don't rush, you know, being united with a family member or friend after not seeing them for a while. And I was just thinking about next week that there's going to be some very happy parents that aren't going to rush to embrace their kids and just reconnect again. And that's, you know, only a short time, but it can seem like a lifetime as well. We don't rush when there's final words that we want to share with somebody. Because when something is sacred, we want to slow down. We don't want to rush what is sacred. Yet, strange enough, many believers, many of us, we rush toward the most sacred realities of our faith. Even communion, the Lord's table. We come here just rushed. Many followers of Jesus, we arrive at the table hurried, distracted, unprepared to even receive what it is that God is longing, absolutely longing to give us. Scripture gently interrupts our hurry and kind of brings us to the place of focus. And, you know, just stop for a minute. Be prepared. Get ready. And so this morning I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 28. And I do invite you, as we're reading the Lord's word, I do invite you to stand with me as we read God's word this morning. 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 28. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And that's the reading of the Lord's word. You may be seated. I want you to notice verse 28. This is where we're slowing down. We don't want to rush into the Lord's Supper. We want to slow down. Examine yourselves. And in so doing, that is the preparation for eating and drinking this cup. We prepare for what we value. The things that matter to us are things that we prepare for. We prepare to go to, whether you're going to school or college for the first time, you know, we get ready. We are prepared for something that maybe it makes us nervous. It's not, schooling isn't always something we enjoy, but we get ready for it. Or maybe it's we get prepared for a new job or, you know, the next stage in our life. We prepare for it. We take some time to make sure that we know what we're getting into, what's the expectation. But we do prepare. And I mean, sometimes the reality is we prepare when people prepare when they go out on a date. Emily and I went out for a meal the other a week or two ago, and we were witnessing two people that we assumed were on their first date because we were eavesdropping. Let's just be honest. We were listening because it's the first date, right? But they looked prepared. They had gotten ready, and now they're presenting their best selves because this was important to them, right? They wanted to make a good impression. But do we transfer this into our spiritual lives? Do we prepare? Do you prepare your heart for worship? Do I prepare my heart for coming into a place of worship? Many years ago, I had this consumer mindset, and maybe I still do it to a degree, but I would like to think that I've matured in this at least somewhat. But I would often go to church, I'd go to the service, and my comments leaving the service was, wow, I got absolutely nothing out of that service. And maybe it was, none of the worship songs were my thing, didn't get anything. And the preacher, the speaker, nah, you know, he just didn't nail it this week. You know, and that's my attitude. But I started to question myself, how is it possible to leave a place of worship that is spirit-filled because we are all, as followers of Jesus, every follower of Jesus is filled with the person of the Holy Spirit. So how is it possible to leave this place when we've been, even in the songs that maybe they're not our favorite, but they're declaring the truth of God's word. And in the sermon, we're declaring the truth of God's word. How on earth could I leave a service like that and say, got nothing out of it? And God began to impress upon my heart that I was the problem. I wasn't preparing my heart to come to worship, to receive what God had for me. And things changed drastically when I prepared my heart. And man, I could notice it when the days I didn't prepare my heart, I could notice it. It's just like, yeah. And then I would begin to think those thoughts of, yeah, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, why not? Because I didn't prepare myself. I didn't put anything into it. And do we prepare? That's the question. Do we prepare for what's sacred? Do we prepare for Easter? Or to come to the Lord's table, to come to the Lord's Supper? Because when we fail to prepare it, it might be revealing that something that is sacred has quietly become familiar. Friends, at the Lord's table, Jesus offers grace secured by the finished work on the cross. His forgiveness, his strengthening presence, his empowering, and his covenant love. Can we stop to reflect on those gifts that we have? God prepares his people so they can fully receive what he longs to give them. So before we come to the table today, God invites us to slow down. Prepare your hearts for what is sacred. As you look throughout Scripture, you will see that pattern preparation is a pattern throughout Scripture. Whenever God is about to do something, whenever he's about to do something holy, he prepares his people first. He wants them to be ready. Get ready for this great thing. Exodus 19, 10, 11 says this. The Lord says to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. And let them wash their garments. And let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. He prepared the people for this great sacred event. Before Israel met God at the mountain, they were told to consecrate themselves. A very clear statement, New Testament statement, is found in Luke 1:76-77. It says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins." And so John, his specific purpose in ministry was to come to prepare the way of the Lord. Preparation isn't about earning grace or favor. It's about positioning our hearts in a place where we're ready to receive what it is that God offers us. But one of the things that our world disciples is hurry. We are being discipled constantly to hurry, to rush. But love. Love requires attention. You can't deepen a relationship when you're in a hurry. You deepen a relationship by taking time, spending time, making space in a relationship for someone. So what does it look like to prepare? Well, I would encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit to search you. Is there anything that is pulling your affections away from Christ? Once you've done that, once you've discovered that, once God has revealed that to you, and then you turn your heart towards Jesus. You turn your heart towards the cross, because resurrection always comes surrender. Sorry, before resurrection always comes surrender. Search your hearts. What affections have you turned away from? Now, I want you to hear this carefully, though. The cross stands at the very center of our faith, but it was never meant to stand alone. Our salvation includes the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And yes, the cross is where sin was paid for. The tomb is where death was conquered. And the resurrection is where, that's where the new life begins. You can't separate what God has joined together. He's joined these three together. But it is at the cross where our hearts are most clearly recentered. We come back to the cross to recenter us, ourselves. It's where we remember the seriousness of our sin. But not only do we recognize the seriousness of our sin, we recognize the immeasurable love of our Savior. It's where forgiven people find their footing again. So we do not come to the table trying to make ourselves worthy. We come because Christ has already made us worthy and he invites us to the table. He's the one that gives the invitation for us to come to the table. And as we come to the table, we come to the table remembering the cross of Christ. And every time we gather here, we are reminded that the table points us toward the most central, sacred event of our faith, Easter. Because Easter is absolutely too glorious to rush. Followers of Jesus through the centuries have often chosen to slow down weeks leading up to Easter. And the church is called this season Lent. I don't know if we've ever really recognized Lent before, but it's the 40 days starting on Ash Wednesday. I do know why, but I won't go on and explain it. But that's this Wednesday. That's why we're having communion today, very specifically because it's Ash Wednesday is coming up. And it's 40 days before Easter begins. And now if you actually look at your calendar and you count the days off, it's probably 46 days. It is 46 days. For some reason, they don't count the Sundays. But so the church has called this season Lent. And the value in it, the importance of it is, it's a time set apart to prepare our hearts for the remembrance of Christ's death and celebration of his resurrection. Like, this is the time to slow down. Let's not rush into that. And of course, the Bible, Scripture doesn't command us to observe this season, but Scripture does repeatedly call us, his people, to live with prepared hearts, to remember, to reflect. And so, over the coming weeks, starting this week, I just want to encourage you, just softly, to, you know what, let's make room for God in a very deliberate way this season. Not out of obligation. That's legalism. But out of a deep desire for a deeper relationship with Jesus. To be able to just reflect on what the cross cost, but then on what we gained. Perhaps it might mean for you creating a space each day. Slow down. Create a space each day to become quiet before God. Maybe it's surrendering a distraction that's been crowding out your attentiveness to him. I don't know what that is. We all have different distractions that will distract us. Maybe it's fasting. Maybe it's prayer, committed time of prayer. Perhaps it's returning to some practice that help your heart stay tender through scripture reading, through prayer, confession, and worship. The goal in doing this isn't to earn anything, but it is spiritual attentiveness. Because Easter is this incredibly glorious event. It's the culmination for us as followers of Jesus. It is the event of all events, right? It's world-changing. That's where hope lies. And so it's absolutely worth slowing down so we don't rush it. So let this be just a gentle invitation to you. Not a requirement, but an opportunity. Just for us to slow down, for me to slow down. So that when Resurrection Sunday arrives, our hearts are absolutely awake to the wonder of Resurrection Sunday. And the beauty is this. Preparation doesn't start weeks from now. It begins at moments like this, right here at the Lord's table. This is the beginning. This is the start of that preparation. And so I want to invite you to come to the table. The table is ready. Not because I've made it ready. It's ready because of what Christ finished for us. We begin at the cross of Jesus Christ. Not a symbol of defeat, but the place where love bore our sin. The doorway into the resurrection life. And today we remember because of Jesus that we are forgiven. And because of Jesus we are reconciled to God. Because of Jesus we are welcomed into the family of God. The cross is what makes us worthy to come to the table. And the same Jesus who gave his body for you, the same Jesus who shed his blood for you, now invites you to the table. And so I invite the band to come up. Church family, this is an incredibly sacred moment. So let's not rush what God has set apart for us. What he has set apart is holy. So today, if you know Jesus, if you've trusted him as the Lord and Savior in your life, this table is for you, and we want to invite you to the table. Not because you're perfect, but because Jesus is. And if you're still exploring faith, I'm so glad you're here. You're welcome here, but I just simply ask that you allow the elements to pass today. And just consider the invitation of Jesus to come. I ask the servers to come forward as well.